This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
U.S. democracy under attack. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, February 14. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Using social media and propaganda, the Director of National Intelligence told a congressional panel that Russia and others will continue to target our elections.
Another judge has blocked White House plans to end the DACA program that protects young people from deportation if they were brought here by their parents.
At the Olympics, Shaun White became the first American to win gold at three Winter Games, capturing the men's halfpipe today.
And on this Valentine's Day, how the hashtag MeToo movement is making dating more confusing for some singles.
Men are finally noticing that women have been receiving all kinds of unwanted or aggressive attention in the workplace, but also in their personal lives. And so when it comes to their personal lives, when they want to be romantic with someone, they really don't want to be a harasser or somebody who might end up in one of those Me Too posts that you would see on Facebook.
Lisa Bonos at the Washington Post on the changing etiquette rules when it comes to dating. Her report in about 20 minutes. FBI Director Christopher Wray is contradicting the White House version of events surrounding the background check for Rob Porter, the former staff secretary accused of domestic abuse by two ex-wives. Mr. Wray, in testimony before a Senate panel yesterday, said the agency completed a background check in July for security clearance for Mr. Porter, who resigned last week in the face of the abuse allegations.
We did the follow-up and provided that information in November, and then we administratively closed the file in January. And then earlier this month, we received some additional information, and we passed that on as well.
The White House has said the FBI and intelligence agencies had not completed investigations into Mr. Porter. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders says that's because the White House had requested more field work on him. That office received a subsequent FBI report in November and was still working on his clearance when he resigned. In the latest twist on what happened between President Trump and an adult film star, Mr. Trump's longtime personal lawyer now claims that he paid the woman $130,000 out of his own pocket. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Michael Cohen said in a statement obtained by Fox News that the 2016 transaction with Stephanie Clifford, who goes by Stormy Daniels, was lawful and not a campaign expenditure. Mr. Trump met the woman in 2006, a year after he married his wife Melania. According to the Wall Street Journal, Ms. Clifford began talking with ABC News in the fall of 2016 for a story about the alleged relationship, but reached a deal a month before the election that prevented her from going public. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 9 minutes now after the hour. U.S. intelligence officials are warning that Russia will try to interfere in the 2018 U.S. midterm elections. Dan Coats, Director of National Intelligence, spoke before the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday during its annual hearing on worldwide threats. He says Russia and other foreign entities were likely to attack U.S. and European elections this year and beyond, adding that Moscow believe similar efforts successfully undermined U.S. democracy 2 years ago.
Frankly, the United States is under attack. Under attack by entities that are using cyber to penetrate virtually every major action that takes place in the United States.
Mr. Coates, the former Indiana senator appointed by President Trump, said he had already seen evidence that Russia was targeting U.S. elections in November. He says persistent and disruptive cyber operations would continue with things like propaganda, social media, and sympathetic spokespeople used as a means of influence. Support for This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, comes from Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and more. 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4% and 33% on their life insurance. These savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/Gordon or mention the promo code Gordon when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Thanks for being with us. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. The rules of dating are being quickly rewritten in the hashtag MeToo era. Plenty of heterosexual men are confused about how to make a first move in a way that is confident and mindful of a woman's boundaries. Even guys who are pretty sure they are not harassers are walking on eggshells. Thomas Edwards, a professional wingman who coaches singles on how to approach people in bars, says his male clients are quite conflicted about how to be both romantic and respectful when making a first move, which was already tough before. More from Lisa Bonos, writer and editor for a blog at the Washington Post called Soloish. Lisa, give us the broad setup.
The broad setup is that men are finally noticing that women have been receiving all kinds of unwanted or aggressive attention in the workplace, but also in their personal lives. And so when it comes to their personal lives, when they want to be romantic with someone, they really don't want to be a harasser or somebody who might end up in one of those Me Too posts that you would see on Facebook. So they're a lot more skittish about making a first move.
So how is it done in this day and age? And I mean, right now, right? In the winter of 2018.
Yeah. Well, the first thing to say is it still varies widely by person, but a lot of men have told me that in recent hookups, they have seen women be more forward and make the first move. I think some of that is a response to realizing that men are not sure what to do right now. And dating experts have told me that men have told them if a woman doesn't make a first move, they're moving on because they're just so worried about coming across the wrong way.
Right. Wow. So there was a rule of thumb somebody said the other day, and I thought it was worthwhile. And this would be, is this the way, for example, if you're a man, you would want your sister to be approached or your mother to be approached perhaps back in the day? Are there new tips for guys right now?
I think it would be to talk a little bit more. You can say, "Can I kiss you?" in a way that is showing desire. Like, I've been thinking about what it would be like to kiss you. You know, just people are talking about what they want to do physically kind of before doing it a little bit more. And the only way to get comfortable doing that is to practice.
Oh, man. How about the one guy you spoke to who said his approach, at least a couple of times, is to hand the woman her phone number if he meets her, say, at a bar, instead of asking for hers where she might feel pressure to give it?
Yeah, so this is really interesting. This young man is 25 years old, and he's taken a lot of classes about toxic masculinity and thought a lot about consent in dating, and he was saying to me that he realizes that when he approaches a woman in a bar and asks for her number, it might be difficult for her to say no, or she might then be bombarded by texts from him. And if he gives her his number and then she texts, it's up to her to show that she's interested. You know, a lot of women might not do that. So I think we're in this trial and error period.
Wow. Well, back up a second, too, and explain toxic masculinity in that phrase.
That's a phrase that gets thrown around a lot. You know, I should probably do an explainer on what exactly that is. But I would say it forms of masculinity that are just maybe overly aggressive.
Okay.
But at the same time, everybody's trying to figure out what that is.
Mm. Oh, we're speaking with Lisa Bonos, writer and editor for the Soloish blog at the Washington Post. And she's written a fascinating piece about how dating is more confusing in the hashtag MeToo era. What about just that, this poor guy you wrote about, he seems to be not knowing which way to turn. And I don't want to get into like the, you know, the shades of gray examples that you kind of gave in there, but what about just like the honesty of like, hey, I'm trying to be sensitive, but I don't know how to discuss certain things. Like, is that appreciated, or then do you look like you don't know what you're doing in that case too?
No, I think that is appreciated. One thing that men and women told me in general that is that they are talking about sex long before they're having it these days, even at dinner before they've ever gotten physical.
Wow.
You know, I also noticed that an MTV study said that men 18 to 25, so right the range that we're talking about with the man in this article, 40% of them said that they have changed the way that they date in the Me Too era, just trying to be mindful of not crossing women's boundaries.
Anybody say that this is kind of a phase that we'll all eventually figure out and be comfortable with? Like we'll understand and learn the new rules or something?
Yeah, no one really said that, although there was a lot of talk about how to improve education on both sides with men and women as far as communicating their needs and boundaries to each other. And I think at the very least this will open communication a lot more between singles when they're dating. And that's always good, right? Yeah.
Thanks, Lisa. Lisa Bonos, writer and editor for the Washington Post blog called Soloish. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Four and three of the nation's top intelligence officials say they've seen evidence of Russian meddling in the upcoming midterm elections. Part of what they say is Moscow's escalating cyber assault on U.S. and European democracies. National Intelligence Director Dan Coats says Russia's interference is ongoing.
Persistent and disruptive cyber operations will continue against the United States and our European allies, using elections as opportunities to undermine democracy, sow discord, and undermine our values.
U.S. intelligence concluded Moscow interfered in the presidential election, which has led to the current FBI investigation into possible Trump campaign connections. Israeli police have recommended that Benjamin Netanyahu be indicted on bribery and breach of trust charges in two corruption cases, a development that deals an embarrassing blow to the embattled prime minister and is likely to fuel calls for him to resign. Netanyahu angrily rejected the accusations, which included accepting nearly $300,000 in gifts from two billionaires. He accused police of being on a witch hunt and vowed to remain in office and even seek re-election. President Trump's personal attorney claims he personally paid $130,000 to Stormy Daniels, a former porn actress who allegedly had a sexual relationship with Trump in 2006. In a statement to the New York Times, Michael Cohen said he made the payment to Daniels and was not reimbursed by the Trump campaign or the Trump organization. Cohen says the payment was lawful and not a campaign contribution, and that he made a similar statement to the Federal Election Commission in response to a complaint by Common Cause, a government watchdog group. Needing to land a combination of tricks he'd never done before, U.S. snowboarder Sean White soared above the halfpipe and came up with the run of his life, making him Olympic champion again.
I just felt so overwhelmed. Honestly, I've been through so much to get to this point, and you know, people talking about my age, talking about this injury I had in New Zealand I'm still recovering from, and it's all worth it now.
White won his third gold medal and places his name among the greatest to compete in the Olympics. This medal comes 12 years after he won his first, 4 years after a bad showing in Sochi, and 5 months after a crash that made him reconsider if he wanted to continue in the sport.
I mean, I think he just about literally broke his face.
Yes.
In that wreck, back in October or whatever. He won his first Olympic medal at 9. Didn't he, invent the halfpipe stuff?
I think so.
What are you doing 40 feet in
tomato.
The air?
He's been around forever.
The flying tomato, right? 22 minutes now after the hour. Consumer Reports has found that millions of smart TVs can be controlled by hackers exploiting easy-to-find security flaws. The problems affect Samsung televisions along with models made by TCL and other brands that use the Roku TV smart TV platform as well as certain streaming devices. The report says a relatively unsophisticated hacker could change channels, play offensive content, or crank up the volume. What are your defenses? We're joined now by cybersecurity expert Dr. Eric Cole, author of a new book called Online Danger. Eric, what's happening?
Yeah, what's happening is all these devices called IoT or Internet of Things are being connected to the Internet, and TVs are no exception. And what they're saying is if your TV is not configured correctly, not only could somebody remotely control it, but somebody can monitor and look at all your activity and see everything you're watching.
And you have to opt out of this stuff, if I understand it, right? This comes preset.
Exactly. That's the problem is all these products have good security. The problem is it's turned off by default. So you have to be smart enough to know to turn off all these features. Otherwise, you take the TV out of the box, you set it up, you think life is great, and you have all this monitoring and hacking going on, and you have no clue.
Right. So some of this stuff may gain entry through possibly a Roku device, maybe a gaming console. Where is it happening?
It's happening through wireless or other devices that give access. So the Roku or the gaming consoles is definitely one. The other big one is you have all these people jailbreaking their different ways, their Fire Stick that they use to get access. And what they don't realize is this jailbreaking technique sounds cool because they can get all these free movies. They can get access to all this content. Now, on a side note, it's illegal to do that, but putting that aside, even if you don't care, what you're really doing with this jailbreaking is, yes, you're getting access to all the free movies, and you're getting all these criminals that steal the movies access to your device. So if you have credit card data, if you have cameras, if you have anything else on that system, you are now exposed, and that information is accessible.
Mm. So I get the impression that there are kind of two fronts here. One, you may be tracked because a company wants to know your wants and needs so they can perhaps sell you products or give you better programming. But then there's the thieves that are involved here just want to steal information.
Exactly. And if you look at the article, there's really a third one, which is if somebody can get access to your wireless network, they can go in and reprogram your TV, so they can turn up the volume, they can change the channels, they can do things like that, which really, it's an annoyance, but I don't really see that one as a big threat. The bigger threat is, can somebody watch your personal preferences and do targeted advertising, which that one's a personal privacy, but not going to cost you money. It's that second one you mentioned where they start getting access to credit card data and personal information for identity theft, that you start to get yourself in a lot of trouble.
Mm. Give me an example of a device and a basic opt-out that most of us aren't even aware of.
So with your TVs, most people don't realize that you can actually opt out of additional remote controls. So for example, you can have your iPhone or other devices control that TV. That's turned on by default. Second opt-in is tracking all of your viewing behavior. And the third biggest one is if you put in your credit card data to buy a Netflix or purchase something, by default, that information is stored.
Thanks, Eric. Dr. Eric Cole. The book is called Online Danger. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you want the absolute best shirts around, you have to go to CT Shirts. I want you to try them because once you do, you'll never go back to some random shirt off the shelf of a department store. And CT shirts come in custom sizes, so you're not messing with ill-fitted sleeve lengths or neck sizes. It's time to step up your game and look your best, so I got you a special CT shirts deal. 3 CT shirts for $99. CT shirts use the softest, most exquisite fabrics ever. Work or casual, tie or no tie, tuck or untucked, when you're wearing a CT shirt, you'll look your best. Here's the deal. 1 CT shirt normally costs $100, but right now you get 3 shirts for just $99. That's 60% off. Go to ctshirts.com/deal. And CT shirts come with free delivery, a 6-month quality guarantee, and free returns. If you hurry, $99 gets you 3 amazing CT shirts. ctshirts.com/deal. That's ctshirts.com/deal.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, February 14, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The Director of National Intelligence says Russia and others are targeting the midterm elections. Christians today observe Ash Wednesday, the start of Lent. Watch for how the markets react to a government inflation report today. Most baseball teams begin spring training this morning. USA Today suggests same-sex pairs figure skating for the Olympics. And how chicken wings have become the meal for Valentine's Day. That story in about 20 minutes.
I don't really care much about the score. It's just I wanted to do the best I could, and I knew that I could one up my first run, and that's all I wanted to do.
Olympic gold medalist Chloe Kim. Winning the gold medal in the Olympics is a pinnacle in any athlete's career, but physical fitness or technical skill may not, in fact, be the crucial factor. Increasingly, sports scientists are becoming convinced that it's grit and determination, resilience and desire, which separates winners from losers. Clinical forensic psychologist Dr. John Huber says motivation triumphs over muscle sometimes. Dr. Huber, explain.
Well, you know, we think about, first of all, the hours and hours and months and years of these individuals training to reach this level of physical fitness. And what we, you know, really can see, whether it's the Olympics or the Super Bowl or any other top athletic event like that, all the players, all the individuals who are competing are at such a high level of physical fitness and skill that it really boils down to their mindset. What are they thinking at that moment? Are they able to clear their mind and move forward and perform and focus on the task at hand? Or are they worried about, you know, their six-month-old kid who's got a cold? Because that little bit of difference is a half a step. And in the world of the Olympics, you know, that's not even placing. That's going from first to fifth.
Yeah, yeah. The kids who do some of the skiing stuff, I just marvel at. This 17-year-old young woman, right? Chloe Kim from California. She wins the snowboarding gold. But what impressed me the most, that not only is she 17, but as I was saying on the show, like, she was predicted to win at the age of 17. Like, it was a no-brainer that the gold was hers before she even went. That's different level psychological approach.
Well, it is. It is. And the other side to that is, at that level and that developmental age, you know, things like fear are perceived totally different by individuals. Our brains haven't fully developed at that point. So it's just about the excitement and the adrenaline rush. And, you know, at this point, my understanding is she hasn't had any kind of major injuries or anything else that kind of bring back that sense that she is mortal. So she's able to push herself and do things that you or I or and previous generations look at and go, that is just insane. And we're thinking about it from a bunch of different levels. One of them is, look at the height she's getting, look at the twists and everything else right. She's doing. And we're thinking, man, if I do that, I'm dead.
Yeah.
And
we're speaking with Dr. John Huber, clinical forensic psychologist, also chairman of a nonprofit called Mainstream Mental Health. And we're talking about the mindset of an Olympic gold medal winner. I think with the Olympics, you have to consider that roughly all training around the world is the same, right? So is it the psychological approach or mental health coaches or therapists that these teams have on hand sometimes?
Well, some of the teams do have that. I mean, you know, if you go back to Tiger Woods when he won his first Masters, you know, he was the only one at that point that had a psychologist actually helping him program his mind. I mean, you can practice 18 holes and it take you 4 hours, but you can practice those same 18 holes with somebody going through, you know, guided imagery and in 30 minutes. And what we know is it actually causes the exact same neurons to fire all the way down to your muscles, just imagining striking that ball. So he can practice that same 18 holes, you know, 8 times in the amount of time that it takes him to actually physically play it once.
Yeah.
So these athletes, whether they're doing, you know, the snowboarding, the extreme snowboarding or the ski jumps or the giant slalom, you know, they're able and they've been trained to do this, to visualize themselves hitting those gates and hitting them perfectly. And, you know, a lot of these people have different body shapes, slightly different body shapes and different styles, and maybe a little injury here that happened 20 years ago or 5 years ago, and they've skied with it for so long, it's not even an injury to them. It's they've got a new style.
Right, right.
So they have to imagine themselves doing the best they can in those things. And it works. It's the one thing that gets them ahead, because anybody can put in the time.
Yes.
But if you don't have that mindset, it's not going to happen.
There was an interesting note here that I saw in the email. It talked about who's mentally tougher, the athlete that always finds a way to win or one that manages to remain competitive despite taking humiliating losses. How do you answer that?
I think it depends upon the individual, and we can watch And it comes down to, you know, if we put those two head to head, who's going to come out on top? And I think that's pretty much the deciding factor at that point.
Thanks, John. Dr. John Huber, clinical forensic psychologist, also chairman of a group called Mainstream Mental Health. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we found out in recent years that the rules for who is and is not allowed to run for elected office in some states are hazy at best. The perfect example comes to us from Kansas, where election officials actually had to come out and say that a dog would not be allowed to run for governor, even if there are no actual laws prohibiting an animal from running. The dog's owner, Taryn Woolley, used the state's oversight to file the paperwork to that would allow his 3-year-old wire-haired Vizsla named Angus P. Woolley to run. Woolley told a local newspaper that he figured why not when he got the idea to run Angus for governor, adding that he thought his dog could provide better leadership than they've had for the last 7 years in the state.
Ooh.
This forced Brian Kasky, the director of elections in Kansas, to take a long and hard look at the state's election laws. And Kasky told the Kansas City Star that there are several laws on the books that say the governor has to be an individual or person, so that if a dog comes in to file for governor, they would not allow that.
Mm.
It's a good thing they had to come out and say that.
Yeah.
No dogs. Now, this is the same state where teenagers have been signing up to run for governor, like high schoolers, because, again, there are no laws in the books that say that a 14-year-old, for instance, cannot run for governor.
I see.
So they're having to deal with a lot of this in Kansas right now.
Wow. And a great way to get out of class.
Yeah.
Listen, I scheduled a campaign event for noon, so I'm going to need to bolt from AP physics right now, if you don't mind.
Exactly. I think you and I probably both would have done that had we had the forethought.
But by the way, there's a write-up on petwave.com,
yeah,
which talks about the wired-haired Vizsla.
Yeah.
Personality and temperament that is smart, gentle, and affectionate. They tend to bond strongly with their people and characteristically are great with children and other pets.
Look, there you go.
So really, I think, would make a strong candidate for governor.
Shaking hands, kissing babies,
listen, don't rule it out. Don't be so quick to dismiss it.
And, you know, it's Valentine's Day, Gordon, which means it's prime season for big romantic gestures. And a British man is making news for how his grand Valentine's plan backfired spectacularly. Duncan Robb of Chesterfield, England, said on Twitter that he was flying his girlfriend Sarah to Northern Ireland this week to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in concert in Belfast. Says he was a little surprised at the time that he bought the tickets to see his lady's favorite group were such a bargain, only costing him $42. Then the couple got to the show and realized that the tickets were, in fact, to see the Red Hot Chili Pipers, a bagpipe cover band. Now, in case you're wondering what the Chili Pipers sound like, Duncan recorded some video at the show of the group covering CNC Music Factory's Everybody Dance Now.
Oh, my.
Yes. Now, the agent for the Chili Pipers, Gordon, who call themselves the most famous bagpipe band on the planet ever, says that they're not trying to pass themselves off as the Chili Peppers and are very careful with their advertising, always making sure to include bagpipes and kilts in every picture.
I see.
But that didn't stop our friend Duncan from jumping on that deal.
Wow. Well, he saved a lot of money.
He did. And they went to the show. You know, and they've been good sports about it. He's getting a lot of attention for this, obviously.
Sure.
He's been a good sport about it on Twitter.
Wow. Red Hot Chili Peppers, by the way, are in South America next month in Argentina, Chile, and Brazil, if he wants to check those dates. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Thanks for being with us. Are you thinking about popping the question this Valentine's Day? It's one of the most popular days for couples to do that. So if the engagement is broken off and the couple does not get married, who gets to keep the bling? Different answers in different states, according to USA Today. In general, a ring is considered a gift, but an engagement ring generally also comes with the condition of the promise to get married. The majority of states take this approach, and the ring is returned to the gifter if there's no wedding. But some states also take fault into consideration and look at who broke the engagement. In those states, the person that breaks off the engagement loses the ring, like Alabama, Alaska, Kentucky, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire. Montana is an interesting exception. The ring can be kept by the recipient no matter what. In the event of a divorce, the recipient keeps it. However, a handful of states consider the ring as marital property once the marriage occurs, and therefore it would be split in a divorce. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Kashenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to contradicting the White House, the FBI says it gave the Trump administration information on multiple occasions last year about a top aide accused of domestic abuse by his two ex-wives. The account by FBI Director Christopher Wray challenges the White House assertion that Rob Porter's background investigation was ongoing, and officials first learned the extent of accusations against him only last week, just before he abruptly resigned.
We did the follow-up and provided that information in November, and then we administratively closed the file in January. And then earlier this month, we received some additional information, and we passed that on as well.
Several senior officials, including Chief of Staff John Kelly and White House Counsel Don McGahn, were aware of the broad allegations against Porter for months. A second federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to temporarily restore a program that gives protections to hundreds of thousands of undocumented immigrants who entered the U.S. as children. The nationwide injunction by a federal judge in Brooklyn comes 1 month after a similar ruling by a San Francisco federal judge stopped the Trump administration from ending DACA. The Supreme Court could announce as early as Friday whether it will take up the issue. One climber fell to his death and several others had to be rescued after conditions turned treacherous on Oregon's tallest peak. Sergeant Brian Jensen, spokesman for the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, says more than a half dozen people had been climbing near Mount Hood's peak when a climber fell.
It was reported that the climber had fallen approximately 700 to 1,000 feet off of Hog's Back.
A stranded climber had used a cell phone to inform authorities that the conditions had turned nasty with falling rocks coming down on the climbers like a bowling alley. Flynn the Bichon Frise won Best in Show at the Westminster Kennel Club last night, a choice that seemed to surprise almost everyone in the crowd at Madison Square Garden. Fans who had been loudly shouting for their favorites fell into stunned silence when the judge announced her decision. Flynn beat out Ty the Giant Schnauzer, who came into Madison Square Garden as the nation's number one show dog, and the crowd favorite was apparently Biggie the Pug.
A stunning upset
it
at
was.
Madison Square Garden.
Good stuff.
Bichon Frise. Come on. Give me like a shepherd or a big dog in there. Nobody wants these little dogs to win. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Somehow chicken wings are elbowing their way to a spot alongside flowers, chocolate, and champagne on the Valentine's Day menu. The Wall Street Journal says some couples this year will ditch a quiet candlelit dinner for a wing fest at Buffalo Wild Wings. On social media, the chain promises love at first bite. Restaurant orders of chicken wings are 14% higher on Valentine's Day compared with other days of the month, excluding Super Bowl Sunday. Applebee's sells nearly twice as many chicken wings on Valentine's Day compared with a typical day the rest of the year. Valentine's Day is also one of the year's top five busiest days for Wingstop. In 3 days, CEO Charlie Morrison says Wingstop sold out of 1,000 heart-shaped boxes and skewers to build chicken wing bouquets at home. He says sharing chicken wings shows you're ready to be vulnerable with someone because there's going to be food on your face. For Jennifer Kashenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.